Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider, is going to be with us here in a couple of minutes. The baseball trade deadline is on Friday. Pedro joins us every week. All the latest around Aroldis Chapman and Cole Hamels and the Diamondbacks and the national trade talk, that will come up with Pedro Gomez. We'll talk quite a bit about Tom Brady today, Robert Kraft teeing off on the Brady ruling, cell phones and 10,000 texts and all that stuff. But we are very Arizona-centric here at Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic as well, AZ Central Sports. Also in today's show, recruiting roundup guys are going to come in because we are about what's going on the high school front as well. So today will be a segment with Jason Jewell from Scout.com and Jared Cohen, the recruiting roundup guys. If you're a college football fan, high school football fan, who's coming in, who's doing well, what colleges, what programs on the high school end, what program would you send your son to? If you said your son, if you just moved into the state of Arizona and said, where am I going to send my kid to? I want to ask the two guys because they're in the middle of it all. Give me the program that you would send your kid to. So we'll talk to them about that. Also some recruiting stuff on a national level as well. Tomorrow and Friday we'll be in Los Angeles at Burbank, actually at the Warner Brothers Studios for Pac-12 Football Media Day. We'll be doing the show with the coaches from ASU, U of A, players from around the world of the Pac-12. I think today they're in Bristol. Hope that trip's working out well for him to sit there off to the side because Tom Brady's just dominating the conversation. Then they're getting on the air for like 30 seconds. I saw where the SEC did not even want to go to Bristol this year. And the Big Ten didn't go to Bristol this year. So there's some stuff there. Let's get you caught up what is on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, used vehicle at Santan Ford, General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it right there. Big Bob Johnson and Lloyd Koval, John Bernath over on the service side. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. They're big supporters of the Diamondbacks, of the Cardinals, of Arizona State. So when I tell you to get your certified, pre-owned, your new, your used vehicle from the great Ford brand name, shop online at SantanFord.com or stop in for yourself at Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. All right, so the story of the day, I think here in Arizona, it's not about Tom Brady. It's not. The story of the day nationally is about Tom Brady, but I think here there is the Cardinals open camp on Saturday. Yesterday was the Jen Welter press conference, first female assistant coach in the NFL. It doesn't matter to me that it is only an internship for 6 weeks. What's funny is how that got lost in the narrative nationally yesterday. Okay, I'm not talking badly. It's like, I don't know, report facts. She's been hired for 6 weeks, and that's it at this point. Not permanently. I run into people, it's so great, they have her on staff, and is she moving here? Is she already here? No, she's here for 6 weeks. Let's see how this plays itself out. I was very impressed with her yesterday. Here's Bruce Arians on how he found out about Dr. Jen Welter.
Coach Welter's coach called me, said, I have a female coach that you might be very interested in. I know she would be interested in it. And we got the ball rolling. She came over for OTAs. We met. I knew this was the type of person that I was looking for to start this. And very, very excited to have Coach Jen Welter join our staff as an intern throughout preseason.
Yeah, and there Bruce said it straight up, but it was kind of lost in the shuffle. Here's Jen Welter. She never envisioned something quite like this. Eric and I were both there yesterday. I came away very impressed with her. Here's Dr. Welter.
I didn't even dream that it was possible. And I think the beauty of this is that though it's a dream I never could have had, now it's a dream other girls can grow up and have. And so I guess if that makes me a trailblazer, then...
She's a trailblazer.
I'm honored. You know, well, then I'm honored.
What I thought was great, she talked further about what it means for daughters. I have two daughters, and they've both been into sports as well as other things. But it is the opportunity for them. The obvious question for some of you guys is she's never played at a level that you respect. I got some of that yesterday, and I'm just like, guys, you haven't played at a level either, okay? When I hear that, well, when I played in high school stuff, She's played beyond that. She's coached guys beyond that. When I hear the whole thing about publicity stunt, for some people, that's what yesterday was. Not to me. What coaching intangibles can she bring to the Cardinals?
There are a lot of people who are very good X's and O's guys, and I guarantee they're better than I am in some points. But the heart factor, the intelligent player factor, the being the person with the motor that'll never quit factor, those are things that I know I can add to.
So I don't see a downside here at all. Anybody that wants to rain on a parade like we saw yesterday, the front page of the LA Times today, of their sports section, had an enormous picture of Jen Welter, and off to the side had Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady, yeah, for hardcore Joe Sixpack football fan, fantasy football guy, that means a lot. I think beyond that, because the NFL is really the tip of the fingertip around the world. It's not that big of a deal. Some may think it is. It's not. Here in our country, it is. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. But this culturally crosses over all the lines that you like in a story like this. I don't know what's going to happen after she's done for 6 weeks. I don't. It seems to me that there's so much national and international buzz about her that the Cardinals should find in any way, shape, or form an opportunity to keep her on permanently. But I don't know if that's the case. It is a paid internship for 6 weeks, and that's it. So when you're at the water cooler today, oh my gosh, this big trend has been set. Yeah, it has. But let's just see where it goes from here. No player is going to come out and say, I don't like this move at all. No player will say that. And I don't see why they should even. So I was impressed with Eric, what did you think yesterday? You were there.
She certainly looks the part, and she certainly acts the part.
What do you mean looks the part? What do you mean by that?
She looks like a former football player.
Like she'll take you down.
Yeah, looking at her arms, she's you can tell she is an athlete and she played football.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it all comes down to, I think, like Coach Arian said, these guys want to get better. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, whatever. They just want to get better because the Cardinals could be on the cusp of something very special this year. Could be.
Could be. Yeah, but I don't think that there's – I don't think Carson Palmer is sitting around saying, oh, my gosh, they did this. That doesn't matter. That doesn't equate. I thought when she talked about – I asked her about, okay, where did your passion for football came from? And she talked about being a little girl and how she had a check for $12 when she played. She actually posted that check today on social media. Now, that was a pretty cool little moment with her.
She looks a lot like Amy Bender. Remember her?
I remember Amy, sure.
TV personality here at Channel 5?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I know Amy very well. So, you know, that caught my eye. The Tom Brady stuff today, the Tom Brady story, the NFL has to just be saying, how can this happen to us? It's embarrassing when yesterday you have Le'Veon Bell suspension being cut down. You have Tom Brady's suspension being upheld, and training camps are opening. And if you're going to go out and watch the Steelers play the Patriots to open the season, as a football fan, you probably want to see Tom Brady against Ben Roethlisberger, and now you're not. You probably want to see Le'Veon Bell carry the football, and you're not. So here is your marquee game, and you're not going to see either one of those players. So just talking straight football here, and on a business side, I'm sorry, we cannot serve you the filet mignon tonight. We do not have any on our menu. But wait, you're Ruth's Chris. You got to have filet mignon. Well, no, we don't. So we're going to ask you to watch a substandard product. We're going to ask you, consumer, to take 3 hours out of your life and watch a game where two of our best aren't there. Well, you could say that about injuries. Yeah, you could. But these are embarrassing situations that they got themselves into. I'm sorry, if you say you smashed your phone because you had 10,000 text messages on it and that you do that every 4 months anyways, it's not going to come across good. People are not going to buy into this. We have the front page today of the tabloids in New York. Now, granted, it is New York against New England. So there you go. I love this. Okay. It comes out on his phone, so the New York shots fired, New York towards Boston, you phony. How about that? Here's Bill Belichick on his reaction to the Brady news. This was earlier today.
Not at all. We'll just try to get the team ready and prepare for the regular season as we always do and as we did all spring.
So, I mean, he's not going to say anything.
And he never referenced it. He talked around it, but he didn't talk about it.
Do we have that Facebook post of Brady's?
No, we don't. I couldn't find it.
That's fine. It's fine. So Brady talked. He gave this Facebook post today about his about how disappointed he was in the league and all that stuff, and how he smashed his Samsung phone, and then he purchased an iPhone 6. Which on its surface, it's like, why are you going through the brand names? By the way, on the sales end of things, I'll take Tom Brady's side for a minute on this. If I go to Eric, if I go to you and say, hand over your phone because you put the microphone in a bad place and we shouldn't have that microphone in a bad place, and I just want to make sure, but I got to check your phone, that's an invasion of your privacy.
It is.
It is. So if I'm Tom Brady and I say I'm not handing over my phone and the NFL says, well, you didn't cooperate because you didn't hand over your phone with all your text messages, where's the players union at in all this?
The NFL is not the police. The NFL is not the FBI. The NFL is the NFL. They may think they are, but they're just the NFL.
So if if he walked away today, if Tom Brady, after what happened this morning and yesterday, said, I feel like I've just had enough. I'm going to go disappear from the face of the planet. He'll still go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's already won all the Super Bowls. What's left for him to do? He's got to sit out for four games. The Patriots have started out 0-2 before. It's not a big deal. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to get people to sit down and watch television, so that's, I don't believe. Robert Kraft today decided that he's just had enough of the NFL. He called it unfathomable while apologizing to the team's fans for agreeing to accept the league's penalties. Bob Kraft said, I was wrong to put my faith in the league. Of course he said that, and of course New England is going to just say, the world is against us. We've done nothing wrong.
And if they go 8-8 and sneak in the playoffs as a wild card and have to go on the road, they can still make the Super Bowl. So
no, they've started out 0-2 2 years where they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's it. It doesn't matter how you start. Okay, Kraft explained why he agreed to accept the league's penalties of $1 million fine, first round, fourth round pick. And that's when he went into his rant here about apologizing to the fans, because I truly did believe that in May, given the evidence of the situation, the league's history and discipline matters, would make it easier for the league to exonerate Tom Brady. Unfortunately, I was wrong. And what he's getting to is, well, there's Ray Rice, there's Adrian Peterson, there's Tom Brady. How do you wrap these three together with penalties like this? Today is a big day on the baseball front. There's some trades that have already been happening. The baseball trade deadline is Friday. On the other side, Pedro Gomez, ESPN national baseball correspondent, Valley resident, and good friend. He also was at yesterday's press conference at the Cardinals. Talk to him about that, too. I'm Brad Sussmat.
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
48 hours away from the baseball trade deadline, Pedro Gomez joins us for a couple of minutes. Remember, Thursday, Friday, we'll be out at the Pac-12 Football Media Days in Los Angeles. Eric and I will be doing the show out there, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. So as the deadline wraps up on Friday, we'll be doing the balancing and juggling act. Today, the Dodgers get Matt Latos, Mike Morris from the Marlins. We'll get into that in a minute. Let's start first on Diamondbacks straightforward here. You and I have talked about Cole Hamels in the past, poo-pooed it. It was reported earlier this week by a couple of your co-workers that the Diamondbacks made a phone call. Aroldis Chapman, I wrote about 6 weeks ago, the Diamondbacks should pursue him as a free agent. It was reported last night. The Diamondbacks have now talked to the Reds. Do you think they can pull a deal off on either one of these fronts?
You know, I think it would just be cost prohibitive, and not financially, but what the other clubs would want in return. Don't forget, Hamels has several years left on his contract.
Right.
And Chapman is still arbitration eligible next season, so he's under club control. He would not be a free agent until the 2017 season. So you know, if you're the Reds, and you have Aroldis Chapman, who is a huge asset, and you just traded Johnny Cueto to Kansas City, and you got a pretty good call back from the Royals in getting Cueto to Kansas City. You're looking at Chapman and you're saying there is no closer in the game that comes close to what Chapman can do. He is on a tier above Craig Kimbrell, above everyone else when it comes to closing. So we're not going to simply take any offer. If it is the Diamondbacks, you could easily see the Reds saying, well, it'll take A.J. Pollock and Archie Bradley. Mm. And I just don't see the Diamondbacks parting with two key pieces who are very, very cost-effective on their side right now and will be for years going forward, just for a year and 2 months of Aroldis Chapman. So, I know it's great to dream about, hey, Chapman coming or Cole Hamels coming. But these clubs have the card. They have the piece that everyone wants. And it makes sense for Dave Stewart to call and inquire about Chapman and inquire about Cole Hamels, because you want to at least find out and, you know, stick your foot in the water to see what the temperature is, to see, hey, maybe we can match up. But these clubs right now are really dregs of the league. The Reds and the Phillies are near the bottom. They're bottom feeders.
Sure.
So they're looking to turn their franchises around, and what better way than to get a big haul for some big assets?
Okay. So let's go over to Hamels then, because Hamels' contract, to me, it doesn't expire till 2020, and his contract by 2020 is going to be a bargain, I think. I think it's a really good contract. On the surface, it's $20 million today, but Pedro, there's these pitchers that are going to zoom right by.
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
So
Cueto being one of them.
Cueto, Porcello, I mean, there's guys that are just guys. Gallardo's just a guy,
well,
and he's probably going to zoom
just
past.
Porcello signed an extension with the Red Sox, so he's locked up for like the next 4 years.
Okay, but the dollar figure, though, I think is...
Yes, yes. Oh, you know, yeah, you're right.
David
about
Price.
That.
David,
right.
David Price is going to zoom
Price
past
is gonna
him.
Go, he's going to be a Scherzer type contract.
Sure. So I think Hamels' contract, and he's 32, I believe. So
that sounds right. Early 30s.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking at it saying, why not? Don't be the one that says, yeah, we're going to buy right now because we know we're in the race today. Buy right now because if you get him now and he's locked up and you've got to give a king's ransom, like to me, I would not part with Pollock, but I would part with Archie Bradley. I would.
Yeah, but see, the Phillies are, I mean, you talk about the worst team in baseball. I know they've had a great run here since the All-Star break, but they are the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
They are not going to just say Archie Bradley. They're going to say Archie Bradley, Nick Ahmed, and A.J. Pollock. That's what they're going to want in return. And, are you going to really gut three potentially solid to above-average players, you know, maybe even a cornerstone in a guy like Pollock, for Cole Hamels? I know that number ones are hard to come by. Top end of the rotation guys are, you know, and you look right here in the division, and you see Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke, Madison Bumgarner.
Right.
You've got three front line guys right here in the division that you have to go through, probably a combined 8 times, 9 times during the season. You know how difficult it is to beat those guys. Cole Hamels can match up with those guys. But are you willing to gut your core in order to get Cole Hamels? And I just don't think the Diamondbacks are in that position, especially for three very affordable type players right now.
Sure, sure. I mean, if to me it's Bradley and Ray and Ahmed, I'll make the deal. I'll give you two pitchers. I'll give you two young pitchers.
Yeah, but that's not – the Phillies are going to want more. They're going to want an A.J. Pollock in the deal.
No, they're
going to want him. That's just the way –
But
hey, if you're the Phillies, why wouldn't you want –
But on my end, it's I can replenish your pitching staff. Okay, pick any of these young arms that have gone this year. If you don't think any of them are any good outside of Archie, that's one thing. I think Ray's been pretty good for them. I mean, I think there's a little
bit. Yeah, but don't forget, Ray is in his third organization. He's in his late 20s.
All right.
I know he's been very good, but clubs tend to look at a longer-term track record, and Ray is not going to be that desirable piece that another club says, that's the guy we want.
Okay,
they're
going
to want established guys, especially when you're the Phillies and you've got to redo your entire big league roster. Yeah. They're going to want somebody like Pollock in the deal, and Bradley, and probably Ahmed. That's just the reality of it.
Pedro Gomez with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, so to put a bow on this, you don't think anything major comes to Arizona? Is it the usual Aaron Hill's going to go to this place for future considerations? Is that what we're going to see on Friday?
Yeah, and Aaron Hill is somebody that could still go in August. Don't forget that that Friday is just the non-waiver trade deadline. You can still go to August 31st and be eligible for the postseason if you get traded to a club. And Aaron Hill is not the type of player, especially with his salary for next year at $12 million and still about $4 million due to him this year, that a club is going to put a claim in on. So Aaron Hill will be eligible to be traded in August. I strongly believe that because I don't think anybody will put a claim in on him, because if somebody did put a claim in on him, the Diamondbacks would turn around and just say, here, he's all yours.
Yeah, take him. Take him.
Exactly, because they get rid of the salary entirely at that point. So a guy like that will not be claimed. There still will be trades in August, but they won't be the big marquee guys, because a guy like Cole Hamels, somebody will claim him.
Yeah. Let's just go through these deals that have happened or may happen quickly. I got about 3 minutes left with Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider. He joins us every week. The Dodgers get Matt Latos and Morse today from the Marlins. Good deal for the Dodgers?
Okay deal. Okay. They're just looking to solidify their rotation for these last 2 months. And a guy like Latos, you know, he's up and down. There are starts where he's Zach Greinke, a two-hitter, eight innings, that type of thing. And then there are starts that he's 2 1/3 and gives up 6 runs on 8 hits. So he's just the guy that's going to fill in the void. And the Dodgers are saying, if we could put him out there every 5 days, we can get to October. He won't be in our postseason pitching plans, but he'll get us to where we want to be.
David Price gets traded by Friday or not?
You know, I've heard conflicting things on this. I do think that the Tigers, Dave Dombrowski's a very smart GM. I think he's going to look at that team. He's going to see that there's something like 14 or 15 games under 500 since the middle of May. This is not a club that has any traction whatsoever. I think Cespedes, I think Price, I think they go. I think the Tigers start to remake what is really turning into an old ball club. We saw what happened to the Phillies when they got old all together at once. They fell apart, and now they're the worst team in baseball. Detroit looks like they're following the same path, and I think Dombrowski makes deals to reinvigorate that franchise.
Where does Justin Upton end up? I've heard Houston, the A.J. Hinch connection to some of these Padres with Ross. Does Justin Upton make any sense in Houston? Where does he end up?
He does make sense in Houston. I'm going to say Baltimore. Baltimore needs a slugging outfielder, and Upton fits the bill. He would be great at Camden Yards for these last 2 months and could really put the Orioles back into that race.
The Tulowitzki deal, did you like it? Do you understand what Colorado's doing?
I think what Colorado's doing is a lot of what Arizona has done here this year. They are shedding payroll. They are not drawing as well as they would like. They're not hemorrhaging, but they're not making money. They're losing money. And in shedding Tulowitzki's contract, yes, they did get Jose Reyes's, but when you look at the plus and negatives of those two contracts, they gained about $50 to $55 million in surplus by shedding the Tulowitzki deal. You know how it is. Follow the money, Brad. Follow the money. And I think in losing $55 million guaranteed, that's exactly what the Rockies have done.
Do they trade cargo before Friday?
I do believe they do. I think that is a franchise that is, you know, it's the first year for general manager Jeff Breidich, and I think Breidich is going to, he's already shown he is in charge. By trading the face of the franchise in Tulowitzki in his first season as GM, he is showing, I am in charge. Dick Monfort, the owner, no longer is going to make the calls. I'm going to make the calls. He's letting me do that, and I think that is probably a positive for the Rockies. But like anything, when you start doing that, you're going to take a couple of steps back before you can start moving forward. And I think Carlos Gonzalez, who's had an exceptional last 6 weeks or so of the season, is probably going to go. And the Rockies very well could get a nice haul for him.
Okay, before I let you go, we saw you yesterday out at the Cardinals with Dr. Jen Welter being introduced. There's been a lot of national buzz, even international buzz. I saw the front page of the LA Times, entire sports section had the Jen Welter picture above everything else. What did you make out of it sitting there covering that story for ESPN?
You know what? I think it's amazing to think where the Arizona Cardinals are today compared to, Brad, you and I were here about 10, 15 years ago. You know, we all thought back then, if Michael Bidwill could just take charge of the team, because Bill Bidwill was so, you know, old school and old NFL and just really unwilling to change lanes. And I think Michael has shown under his stewardship that this is a franchise that has now become one of the upper one third in the NFL. And it's another move to show how bold they are and how willing they are to take risks and to just keep moving the chain, so to speak.
Yeah. Did she come across well to you?
Yeah, she's interesting. She's an interesting person. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens inside the coaches' meetings and things like that. But, you know, hey, it's a 6 to 8 week internship, whatever it is, through the end of the preseason. It's a great move and a great opportunity for her. And like anything, all we want to do is learn in life, and I think she's going to have an experience that it will really, really push her and have her learn something that really she doesn't know anything about. She knows football, she knows psychology, but she doesn't know NFL football. So it's an opportunity to learn. And how many high school, college coaches would love an opportunity to be in her shoes? So it's a great chance for her.
Good stuff. Thanks as always. Appreciate the time.
Okay, Brad.
It's Pedro Gomez with us every week, ESPN baseball analyst, and also covering some of the national sports stuff here in the Valley for ESPN as well. On the other side, we're going to dive back into some of the NFL news of the day, including more on the Brady stuff. And Jeb York, the 49ers owner, is in some trouble today, comparing his situation to the Golden State Warriors. Some of these owners, man, just back away. I mean, come on. And then we'll have our first look at the college football recruiting and high school season with Jason Jewell from Scout.com and Jared Cohen, part of the recruiting roundup. They'll join us here in studio as well. Tomorrow and Friday in Los Angeles, Pac-12 Football Media Day. I'm Brad Sismat. Let me think about this. Tom Brady is going to miss at least a few weeks. Antonio Gates is missing 4 weeks. Deion Jordan's missing 4 weeks. Josh Gordon is missing 8 weeks, Eric? Is it Josh Gordon 8 weeks?
Sounds right.
Greg Hardy's going to miss 8 weeks. Le'Veon Bell's going to miss 2 weeks. Who am I missing? Those are some pretty big names.
Daryl Washington, TBA,
but he's been off the radar.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're just a diehard of diehard of diehard times 20 diehard, you don't even know or care about Daryl Washington at this point. You just don't.
Locally, they're still interested.
No, I just think there may be on a media end, but I don't think the average fan is sitting there at night saying, boy, I hope Daryl Washington gets cleared.
Well, the Cardinals aren't relying on him.
No,
they're not
they shouldn't.
Counting on him this
they
season.
Shouldn't. So this is not good for the NFL. It just isn't. And there's no other way to spin it. There's no other way to put it. We have to go through that situation here with Daryl Washington. But fortunately, it's been some time since he was here. So this camp that they have their run test on Friday. Friday they do the run test, which is fine. Can you get in under time? The run test used to be very entertaining up in Flagstaff because it was 7,000 feet and rookies had no idea what they were in for and they would just puke all over their shoes.
When I think run test, I think Deuce Latuy.
Deuce Latuy.
That was always the early training camp storyline.
Yeah. Can Deuce make it?
Because he came into camp, well, sloppy would be a right definition.
I love that. I love how you just sloppy.
I don't want to say F-A-T. He was just sloppy.
Say P-H-A-T.
Fat. Yeah.
Deuce is doing, what is it, lacrosse now, I think. He's doing a lacrosse league or something out in Gilbert. It's a good story.
He's going to be one of those guys like Ed Cunningham. Next time I see him, he's going to weigh like 175 pounds, I'm sure.
Isn't that funny about Ed? I mean, you see Ed and you're like, that dude was a starting center
old,
for the Cardinals.
The old Phoenix Cardinals where he had a beard and a huge gut.
Yeah, somebody stuck like a pin in him and all the air came out. I don't know how that worked. Did you see the story about Vin Baker? Did you
hear
about this one?
I did.
So Vin Baker, I don't know if you guys remember Vin Baker. It's over on the basketball end. Vin Baker played 14 seasons in the NBA. He was a first-round pick, six different teams. Vin Baker made $97.4 million in his career. $97.4 million. He's now working at a Starbucks in North Kingston, Rhode Island, as part of a training program to become a manager. He lost it all. He was an alcoholic. He told Fortune magazine, "I was an alcoholic. I lost a fortune. I had a great talent and lost it. For the people on the outside looking in, they're like, wow, for me, I'm 43 and I have four kids. I have to pick up the pieces. I'm a father. I'm a minister in my father's church. I have to take the story and show that you can bounce back. If I use my notoriety in the right way, most people will appreciate that this guy is just trying to bounce back in life." So how does this happen? He had a $3 million home in Connecticut foreclosed on, didn't pay the mortgage. Earlier that year, a restaurant Baker was a part owner went out of business. In 2014, he auctioned off his gold medal that he won in the 2000 Olympics. More from Vin Baker. If you don't have perspective in your personal life and you don't understand what this $1 million or $15 million means, it will go. Anytime I've seen guys pour money into restaurants other than Dan Marley, it's like just taking a shovel and putting all sorts of money in this and throwing it into a furnace. It's just restaurants are just burning money.
He made $92 million and it's gone.
Gone. When he says, when his quote here is, if you don't have perspective in your personal life and you don't understand what this $1 million or $15 million means, it will go.
Big difference.
That quote will just...
Big difference,
that quote, it's like he must have had more bad dudes coming up to him. And you and I have seen this through the years. The guys that go through the personal struggles when they're done playing. And even Bruce Arians referred to it a little bit yesterday. You know, the guys that they're done playing, they don't know what they want to do or what they're even capable of doing. You know, LeVon Kirkland was lost in yesterday's story with Jen Welter. Here's a guy whose wife passed away, family man, and he's just trying to make it work.
Got young kids, yep.
Got young kids, and you watch him up on stage, and when he said what he's gone through when he lost his wife, I mean, that's just brutal. And now he's coming up for air and trying to get himself wrapped back around it. Vin Baker had $97 million, and it's all gone. And now he's at a Starbucks at 43 years of age. So not only did he have $97 million, he had $97 million before he was even 40.
In Rhode Island, no less.
In Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island.
It doesn't matter. That's just, people will say, well, he was this and he was that. No, he was taken advantage of by a lot of people, a lot of bad people out there. That's really unfortunate. On the other side, we're going to switch gears. So the high school football season, the college football season, getting started. High school practices are underway. We do a lot around recruiting. We're going to do something a little different in this next segment with Jason Jewell from Scout.com and Jared Cohen from the Recruiting Roundup. I want to talk to them about the start of the high school season, colleges that are coming in here. If you had a program today that you wanted to send your son to, which program would that be? Are there some programs in trouble this year? What's it look like around the state on the recruiting end? That's next with the Recruiting Roundup, guys. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. All right, tomorrow we'll be in Los Angeles for Pac-12 Football Media Day. Eric and I heading on out there. It'll be fun as we get the Pac-12 schedule started up with ASU, U of A, and all the likes on the college front. Cardinals open camp on Saturday. And the high schools actually started practice this week, part of Sports360AZ.com, of course. High school, college, pro, no particular order. Let's get a high school preview on today's show and some of the recruiting news and notes from the recruiting roundup. The guys are here, Jason Jewell from Scout.com, of course, and then Jared Cohen from Sports360AZ. How's recruiting roundup going? This is what, year three?
Year three. Still going strong.
Yeah.
Great
fall. You tired of him yet? Or?
No, Jared's awesome.
Get out of here. You guys
We're
ever
one big
fight?
Happy family.
You guys ever argue over players?
No, because I'm always right.
Wow.
It's that type of relationship.
Wow.
I got that at home and I got that at work.
Yeah. You guys don't ever argue. So then who's the best player in the state this year?
You or me?
Get out of here. Just jump in here.
The most highly recruited player is Austin Jackson, five-star kid out of North Canyon, going to be a junior.
Best player?
That's who I was going to say is the best player. But I'll venture out and say Byron Murphy over at Saguaro is the best player in the state this year.
Who is going to get the most recruiting letters that is not a senior?
Austin Jackson.
Who is going to get the most recruiting letters who is not a junior?
Ralph Frias, Safford High School offensive tackle.
Safford?
Safford High School. 6'6", 310 pounds.
They're growing big down there.
They do. They got something in the water.
Wow. All right. So big schools this year, best program, top two best programs, big schools this year.
At Chandler High School. It's pretty easy. They're loaded, absolutely loaded. They have a boatload of Division I kids. Just got another one. Hamilcar Rashid just transferred from Cedar Chavez to Chandler High School. They're absolutely loaded. I think they're ready to make a run at another state championship.
And then a second team, not to get cliche, but Hamilton looks very good once again. They've dealt with some injuries at the running back position. They got a great quarterback coming in that backed up Sammy Sasso last year and Travis Lockhart. And then what they do on the offensive and defensive line every year is what puts them in the state championship every year. And they've got a lot of great guys coming back, especially on the defensive line led by Garrett Rand and Emmanuel Byarm. So they should have a great tandem in the trenches, and that should make them a great combination once again.
Recruiting roundup guys here in studio. Okay, a parent is moving from out of state, and they call either one of you and say, what school should I send my kid to play football?
I mean, it seems to be that a lot of the players are heading out to that Chandler area, going out to Hamilton, going to Bashia, going to Chandler High School. That's where a lot of kids go. Mountain Point is a hot destination too. But, you know, I'm a big fan. I got a lot of friends that, you know, in this business, and I have to go out and recruit and all of this stuff. But a guy that I really like a lot and I respect a lot is Larry Feckenhire at Cactus High School. I think he does a great job with his kids.
And there's a lot of, being in the housing market recently, I would probably advise people based on areas more so than football programs.
You dance in here. Don't
no,
dance.
No, I'm not
you
dancing.
You don't want to upset a coach.
You
it's
want me
fine.
To tell you how it is? Yeah, I'm not, I'm
give
not
me,
dancing.
Give me a school. I'm just asking a school, not housing.
If you want a school, Jason Mons runs a fantastic program, and I'm a huge fan of his, and he does a great job. And not only does he advocate for his program, he advocates for his kids. And you always find some of the guys that are lower on his depth chart ultimately end up getting college looks because he doesn't spend all of his time with his number one prospects, the Byron Murphys or the Christian Kirks of the world. He'll talk about some of the other guys too. Hey, while you're watching them, watch these guys too, because they're studs and they could play at the next level too. He's one of the best advocates for his players that I've ever been around.
Program that is rising, doesn't matter what division.
I'm going to go with Moon Valley. I'm a big fan of also Sam Jacobs, and if there's another coach that I'd recommend a kid coming in from out of town to play for, it's him. I know Jason has a great relationship with him. But I've been around the program now for a few years, and each year there is more and more and more kids out at the school, and there's more and more talent out of the school. And I think it's a direct correlation of how Sam Jacobs has dove into this community and has said, we're going to put together a good football program. We're going to do it the right way, and we're going to get do it and have good kids involved and really build it up.
Got one?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a sleeper school, Maricopa High School. I think Coach McDonald is doing a great job out there. And if you look at the talent that has been at Maricopa and then transferred, gone to Mountain Point, gone to Desert Vista, you look at Lorenzo Melvin, you look at Wesley and Landry Payne, gone to Mountain Point and left where they're from, Javonte DeMond, who's now at LSU. If Maricopa and Coach McDonald can keep the talent there, keep those buses from going out to Mountain Point and keeping the kids in Maricopa, I think he has a very good shot of having a very, very good football team in the near future.
Tucson, what's Tucson like this year? Good, bad, average?
Tucson football, I mean, it's basically the haves and the have-nots when you go down there. You look at the Cienegas, the Sal Points, Sabinos. Those are typically the powerhouses. Now, I do like what Miranda Mountain View is doing. You know, I think they've been better. And I think they're one of my breakout teams for the 2015 season. But typically it's been those two or three schools in Tucson that have just dominated the football down there.
And Ironwood Ridge has become one of my favorite programs in the state because rarely do they have the marquee Division I college prospects, but they have guys that are talented enough, like a Jake Matthews over at U of A now, that are talented enough to walk on, but they are coached so well and that that program has developed such an identity that they have been able to have sustained success for the last few years, including when they beat Centennial in the state championship a couple years ago.
Okay. Todd Graham versus Rich Rod. Who's winning this year in state so far, Jason?
Wow, that's a good question.
You're going to think I'm dancing, but I'm going to call it a draw because based on the amount of prospects they've brought in from the state, they're basically, you know, one and one. Marshall Nathy, ASU, Justin Holt, U of A, offensive line, defensive line. They go head to head. That would be something I'd pay to watch. Those two guys in a big man challenge. And I look at those two guys maybe around the same level of prospect. So I would call it a draw, not because one's doing better than the other, but based on who they've brought into this point, it's even.
Jason?
If you're talking 2015 right now, this recruiting class is going to be Arizona State. You know, they got Marshall Nathy, and then they got Christian Hill at Glendale Community College. Four-star kid right there.
So. I was talking high school. I didn't know we were bringing JUCO.
That's fine. He's dropping knowledge. It's good. It's good. So that's where it is. It's ASU.
Right now, 2015, I'm saying it's Arizona State right now.
Okay. Of the guys that are left sitting on the fence, just slow yourselves here for a second. Can U of A make up the ground then to take over the in-state war this year, Jason?
Well, they got to pull some of these guys in that they're targeting: Chase Lucas, N'Keal Harry, Connor Murphy, guys that they're in on. They got to seal the deal on some of those kids to take over, the in-state recruiting battle. But Arizona State is also in on all three of those players as well.
And Byron too. Byron Murphy is also in the mix with that threesome right there. That is involved with both schools.
Out of state, who's going to come in and take those kids away? Jim Harbaugh at Michigan?
He's doing a good job. UCLA is doing a very good job. University of Washington is recruiting here very heavy. Stanford's come in and cherry-picked, guys out of here. Andrews Pete and Zach Hoffpower in the past. So those are some of the schools that I think. Texas A&M has actually come in and done a great job here. So
yeah, I was going to say Texas A&M and Oregon are the two that he didn't mention that I feel like have come in and have really the eyes start to glow when you ask them about those two schools.
All right. Anything else you guys want to add about this year in high school football? Good year? Average year?
I'm excited for the season. I mean, I'm a football junkie, so I'm excited that, practice started on Monday. I love going out on the Thursday night games, the Friday night games. I just absolutely love it. So I can't wait. I'm glad, can't wait for that first game here at the end of August and being out there, being on the sidelines. Absolutely love it. This is what I live for.
I know the division shakeup was very controversial, but it brings intrigue and storylines, and that's what we're all about. So when you look at how Division I shapes up, there's only one team that doesn't make the playoffs out of all that. It's going to be a stacked schedule. Division II, Saguaro moves up. We'll see if they can be as dominant with the upper level of play. And then Division III, there's so many good teams out there. It's such a loaded and really numbers-wise a huge division, 50-plus teams. So there should be a slug-em-out aspect to Division III. So I'm intrigued by the storylines that the division's shakeup could bring.
Good job, guys. The recruiting roundup, something that is part of Sports 360, AZ.com. You can check out the content that they have every week, the Rock and Refuel recruiting roundup, Sports360AZ.com. Wednesday show tomorrow, Eric and I are going to be out in L.A. at Warner Brothers, hanging out with all the football coaches from the Pac-12 tomorrow and Friday, thanks to Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Back with more after this timeout.